You're listening to
the Into Your Head podcast
from Ireland with your humble proprietor, Neil.
You join me at a tremendously exciting moment. It's Into Your Head number 704. We've a lot to get on with today. Items that need to be attended to, issues that need to be addressed, topics. We've got lots and lots of topics, although I seem to be having trouble coming up with one. It's been several minutes now. I've been trying to get this started. What's the song? That's that song the young people play. They say, let's get it started today. Let's get it started, okay. Let's get it started, okay. Something today. Let's get it started. That song doesn't have a begin. Ironically, doesn't have a beginning or a middle or end. It's just some fella going, let's get it started today. Let's get it started, hooray. It just goes on like that. It's a perpetual chorus. Or is it? Maybe it isn't. I don't know. It doesn't seem to me to have a beginning or a middle or an end. Like most things in today's media, it's all a sound bite. You get a bite of sound. They say, chomp down on the cat even. But anything that's bite size, you can't bite it. It's all eaten in one go. You put it in, you don't even get to bite it. That's why it's not satisfying at all. You might as well go to some cocktail party and they say, here's a bite of sausage. Basically, it's a bite-sized piece of sausage. But that means already being separated. So there's the whole biting thing comes into play when you're biting off that amount of sausage from a bigger one. If you get one that's already bite-sized, there's no biting involved. Maybe a bit of chewing, but no, the biting's being effectively done, hopefully by a knife or other implement and not by someone else's teeth. But no, calling it, they do this with the cereals now. They say, oh, these are wheat bites, or bite-sized shapes of wheat, or whatever crap they're made of. But they've already been bitten off. They've bitten off just as much as you can chew, but you don't get the satisfaction. If you see anything with bites on it and you're in the mood for biting something, avoid that like the plague. I guess the same with these burgers, these sliders burgers. They say, here's a slider, it's so small you can just slide it down your throat. It'll get stuck halfway down and you'll choke to death on it, or else it'll go down you. If it's that slippy that it can slide down your throat, then who's to say it's not going to go down your windpipe? Well, I am, because it's not that slidey at all. It's a lie. It's a marketing term. They say, here's sliders. They're so small, you have to have two, and you have to have something else with them. They're just a taste. It's like a fucking sampler of a... next, they'll have some woman at some stand in the supermarket handing out mini sliders. They say, oh, we're selling these new sliders products, but we have to come up with a sample size to hand out to you here. So you had to make an even smaller version. I just cut a bit off, bite a bit off. That's what they'd be the next thing to say. Sir, would you like me to bite this steak for you? Save you having to bite it yourself, because I know there's no for. Of course, in a steak, you're not really doing it for the biting. You're doing for the cutting and then the shoving it down your face. You cut off a bit. You don't lift up the steak with your hands and bite a bit off. If you had to do that, you'd probably say this is overcooked. Although, if you're going to eat like that in public, then you're probably not too worried about the quality of the cooking, or not very aware of it. Probably not even self-aware. We'd be lucky if you're wearing trousers of some sort, unless you're a woman. In which case, I don't know. Maybe you are lucky you're wearing trousers. I don't know. Depends on the time of the month. Suffice to say, hello and welcome to the show. Two dogs walk into a bar. One of the dogs goes straight up to the bar counter and says, hello, how many bars do you have? And the man behind the bar says, you've done that before at least once, I think possibly twice, although at least on the second occasion you had the decency to reference the first one and say, oh, I've done this before. But no, you don't. That is like your third time now, I'm pretty sure. Can't be completely certain, but certainly at least your second time. Although, if I'm not certain how many times you've done it, then I can't can't say that it's certainly your second time. I can say it's certainly past your first time. So it's either your second time or your third time. So I can't say, oh, if it's not your third time, it's definitely your second time. No, that's not going to work at all. I can say it's definitely after your first time. You've definitely done it twice, but I can't say it's definitely your second time because I'm not sure that there was a third. Because if there was a third, then it's not your second time. That's the flaw in that particular area of the counting world. We all thought, oh, the Romans, they did all these counting with letters things. We can improve that instantly by converting it into numbers, and then later into what do you call it? Metrics. They turned everything into tens, and they said, oh, this will solve everything. That's the whole numbers thing figured out now. It isn't. There are still flaws in the numbers thing, and whether they'll ever be dealt with, I don't know, because the children certainly aren't going to be able to deal with it when they can't even count anymore. If they make a mistake in counting now, they expect a little squiggly red line to appear under the error and say, hover over this and we'll suggest the correct answer from our count checker. That's the next thing, or the preview. I don't know if it's there already. I don't know. I couldn't care less, to be perfectly honest. I'm happy to stick with the technology exactly at the state it was 4 years ago, just before they started the new Windows, just before they started putting fucking Androids in everything, and before they started changing the plugs on the iTelephone. So to freeze history there, well, not freeze history, I want time to keep going. I just don't want to. I'm happy for the state of the, or maybe I'm not, I don't know. Maybe I am, maybe I'm not. We'll find out, I suppose, in the future. Although we won't if history is frozen. That's why I don't want to freeze time. Just the state of technology, and then we'll find out whether I'm happy with it that way. That's the only way you find out that, unless you can build a virtual place where you can run a program and replicate that that timeline and see what happens then. Who's to be sure? That's all man-made. That could be full of errors. Could be full of errors and false assumptions. That may be a false assumption on my part, assuming that's full of false assumptions. I think I said I could be. I didn't say I assume it would be. I said I could be. I assume I said it could be. That's what I would say if it was me talking. But I may not have been quite myself when I said that a couple of minutes ago. Well, certainly what I would have said if I was thinking about it now. I would have used the word would be a couple of minutes ago if I was being my normal predicted self, my normal self. I'm just saying I may not have, in which case I can only apologise to who? Why would I apologise? Well, I'm not going to apologise to you for what have I done to you? Nothing. Would I apologise to the me of the past? No, because he's not here. If anything, the me of the past should apologise to the me of the present, but that would involve a hell of a lot of editing. You don't want to burden yourself with editing and these things. Not frigging Steven Spielberg here. I'm making a podcast in my spare bedroom. Not even the bigger of my spare bedrooms. I'm in the smaller one here. Let's limit our expectations in that regard. If Steven Spielberg comes in here and says, oh, want to set up an editing suite here and do your podcast properly, then that's fine, as long as he brings in enough ideas as well to make it extremely profitable, or at least viable to pay for. Oh, maybe he just pay for that. He's got money. Steven Spielberg, I assume, has money. There's another assumption, but I think it's a reasonable one. You can't be just waiting for the 100% of the facts to pour in on everything. I wait till you have the proof of everything. Oh no, you'd be here all. You'd be here all day if you did that. Which indeed I will be. I'll be here in my house all day. Although by the time you hear this, I'll be gone. Be gone out of here. Probably gone somewhere else. Bollocks. That's a load of bollocks. Anyway. Two dogs walk into a bar. As I said, one of them goes up to the bar counter, says, "How many counters are there?" And the man behind the bar says, "Fuck off, you've done that before. Go back and start again. Don't be so fucking lazy. Be original." And the dog says, "Fair enough." And he goes back to the door and the bar counter shouts over, "No, go right back out onto the street." And the dog says, "This is difficult for me. And I don't think dogs can walk backwards." And the man behind the bar says, "Well, turn around. You can go round in circles, can't you? I've seen dogs run round in circles all the time. You don't even have to run. Take your time. Just turn around. You might want to get out of that doorway before you do it, because you're quite a big dog. No offence." And the dog says, "Why would I take offence at that? Nothing wrong with being a big dog." And the barman says, "Well, I disagree. I disagree with your statement that there's nothing wrong with being a big dog. Although I still don't mean any offence by it." And the dog says, "That doesn't make any sense." And the barman says, "What are you, a frigging Professor Stephen Hawking or a dog?" And the dog says, "I'm a dog." But that's quite remarkable that I'm able to state that. A lot of dogs wouldn't be able to say, "I'm a dog, not Professor Stephen Hawking." So the fact that I'm able to say that suggests that I'm more intelligent than your average dog, which may well mean that I'm on my way to being Professor Stephen Hawking or someone of his ilk. And the barman says, "I didn't know Professor Stephen Hawking had an elk." And the dog says, "Neither did I. Why?" And the barman says, "Oh, I think you meant his ilk, did you?" And the dog says, "Yes, I said Professor Stephen Hawking and his ilk." The ilk doesn't belong to him, incidentally. It just means his cohorts, his peers, which he made him. Peers who he may never have even met. Doesn't mean he owns them. If he had an elk, he'd probably have met that, or else he'd have some manager looking after his elk farm somewhere, so maybe he didn't met it. You don't really meet your farm animals after all, do you? Even if you see them every day, it's not like you go and have a meeting with them. You call them around in their circle, say, "Okay, today we're going to do some herding. We're going to herd you up to the next field. We're going to count you for it." You do not. You go up and count them, and you gather them and you push them through the gate. But I suppose in a way that's beating them. You're forcing them to meet you through the gate. I don't know. I think we're getting a bit far away from her. Anyway, I'll turn around, as you say. The dog goes round in a circle just outside the door and comes back in and says, "Hello, can I have a pint of your finest Guinness, please?" And the man behind the bar says, "No, you can't. You're a fucking dog." And the dog says, "Christ." And the man behind the bar says, "I'm not Christ." And the dog says, "Well, you're entitled to your beliefs. I can believe you're Christ, and you can believe you're not Christ, as long as I don't start making demands of you on the basis of me believing that you're Christ. For example, if I say, you damn well better fix this planet because you're Christ, then, as you can see, that's where the conflict of beliefs would cause problems, and someone would have to make a joke. Some third party would have to come down and make a judgment based on whatever is the fairest way to do it in that case. We're worrying too much here. Point of your finest Guinness, please." And the man behind the bar says, "You've forgotten I already refused you a pint of Guinness." And the dog says, "No, I haven't. I was just trying to distract you and have another go at it. Just as when I went out the door to start again to see on your suggestion to start this story all over again, I went out the door and turned around and came back in and started anew. I thought I'd try the same with the pint ordering thing, see if you changed your mind or made a different decision second time round." And the man behind the bar says, "I have to hand it to you, that was worth a shot, but no, still not serving you." And the dog says, "Why not?" And the man behind the bar says, "Because you're not allowed to serve dogs in bars, especially ones that don't serve food. If you served one and one that served food, they'd say, no, you can't be serving dogs in here." And the dog says, "Is this some sort of thing about serving dogs on the menu?" And the man behind the bar says, "No, no and yes, both at the same time. The Schrodinger's cat of the answer world, yes and no at the same time." And the dog says, Where are we going with this? And the barman says, I don't know. This isn't one of your better bar stories, if you don't mind me saying. And the dog says, who are you talking to? And the barman says, never you mind your pretty little head. And the dog says, fair enough. Are you talking about my actual head or my... And the man behind the bar says, don't finish that sentence. And the dog says, what sentence? And the man behind the bar says, thank Christ for that. I was getting out of hand there for a second. And the dog says, I don't have any hands, not even one. And the man behind the bar says, good for you, good for you. Well, how do you scratch yourself then? And the dog says, have you never seen a dog scratch himself? And the man behind the bar says, I have indeed, I just wasn't observing it very closely at the time. It wasn't, I've probably seen it many times. It just has never occurred to me to think about it, to think about how dogs scratch themselves. I'm sure if I thought it through and in my brain and picture the dog scratching himself, then I'd say, oh, that's how he does it. He uses, oh, now that I think about it, you use your back paw, don't you? And the dog says, bingo. And the man behind the bar says, house. And the dog says, what the fuck does that mean? And the man behind the bar says, I don't know. And the dog says, well, if you don't know, I don't know. And the man behind the bar says, if you say that if I don't know, you don't know, how do I know that you're correct about that? And the dog says, you have an independent brain, don't you? You could analyse it yourself and not just rely on my analysis. And then it'll be even better, because if the two of us know a thing, that's like having two independent people look at two independent... we're not independent, admittedly. We're both fully involved in this, but still, better than nothing, isn't it? And the man behind the bar says, I hope it's better than having no pint of Guinness, because it's all you're getting. And the dog says, Christ, I forgot about that. And a great night is had by all, except the dog.
Support the Podcastual Arts at no cost to you. Just click through the Amazon link at intoyourhead.com whenever you go shopping for anything, even if you use Amazon UK or Canada. We'll take your weird foreign money here. We're not proud. Just visit intoyourhead.com and click on the appropriate Amazon banner.
Remember, we value the opinions of you, the humble and ignorant listener. Email Neil at studio@intoyourhead.com.
You are listening to Into Your Head, a listener-supported podcast. Please visit intoyourhead.com/tipjar.
The aforementioned dog from earlier goes back into the bar, having just listened back to the first few seconds of his story, and he goes up to the barman, looking very happy with himself because he just realised something. He says, hello, do you remember when I came in earlier and I said, how many do you have? How many bites do you have? Or something along those lines. And the bar counter says, I do indeed. That was when I sent you out again and said, feck that, so you can't be asking the bar counter yet again, how many bars do you have? And the dog says, oh, that's what I meant. I said, how many bars do you have? Well, I was asking you about your mobile phone signal, so there. And the dog laughs very smugly, and the bar counter says, well, that's a load of bollocks. And the dog says, what makes you say that? And the bar counter says, my vocal cords, for one thing, and for another thing, the fact that it's a load of bollocks. Why would you be asking a bar counter about his mobile phone signal? And the dog says, well, you'll never know now, because he sent me out as soon as I asked it. He sent me out, he told me to turn around and come back in the door and start again, because you were apparently so put out by me asking the same question more than once in my lifetime. And the bar counter says, okay, try asking me now. And the dog says, seriously? And the bar account says, yes, why not? We'll see where this goes. We'll put this down the plug hole and see if it unblocks it. And the dog says, fair enough. I have no plumbing experience, but I assume you're giving me the go ahead because you started that sentence with the word yes. Didn't understand the rest of it. Something about some plumbing reference. But anyway, how many bars do you have? And the bar counter says, I've none whatsoever. I'm an anonymous bar counter. Although, I suppose what you're trying to make out is that you're saying to me, as a person who's employed to count bars, how many bars do you have? But you're saying that you weren't saying that. You're asking me how many bars do I have on my phone in terms of signal reception. Well, I've none, and I've also no bars of reception for your joke. It's a very poor joke, so there's no bars on my reception. You get a very poor reception for that attempt at a joke stroke pun. And the dog says, fair enough, fair enough. I think I've made my point, though. And the bar counter says, you have indeed made your point. Don't know where it's going to get you. It's not going to get you anywhere in here, I can tell you. And the dog says, are we going to drag this out for the whole episode now? And the bar counter says, wouldn't be surprised, to be perfectly honest. He doesn't seem to have much else to say today. And the dog says, who's they? And the bar counter says, what you mean, who's they? The dog says, he doesn't seem to have much to say today. Who's they? And the bar counter says, no, I meant today, as in the word T-O-D-A-Y, as in this day in which we are now. And the dog says, it's night time. And the bar counter says, can we just call me barman now? Because bar counter is a mouthful. And furthermore, just because it's night time doesn't mean it's not still today. It's still today until midnight. And the dog says, and what is it after midnight? And the barman says, oh, we'll find out then, I suppose. We'll find out then. You never know what's going to happen in this world. A minute ago I was a bar counter, and now I'm a barman. Just because it's easier to say, apparently. So you never know what's going to happen on the stroke of midnight or thereafter. I can tell you one thing that's not going to happen. You're not going to get served a pint of Guinness in this establishment for as long as I over my dead body. You won't even get it. Not if I can help it, which admittedly I probably won't be able to help it then. I suppose I could put it in my will. I could put instructions in my will, but that won't get read until long after my dead body is being disposed of, hopefully respectfully. So I suppose in a way it's possible that in the time between my death and the disposal of my body and my will being read and enacted, it's possible that over my dead body then you'll be served a pint of Guinness by some crude tribute. They'll say, oh, the bar counter is dead, let's lay him down on the floor now in a couple of bricks and we'll have another pint over him. Even though, wait a minute though, bar counter is made of dead trees, it's dead from the beginning. How does a bar counter suddenly become dead? That's fucking ridiculous. And the dog says, oh, there was something ridiculous in this story. That's a new development. And the bar counter says, are you being sarcastic now? And the dog says, I don't know. I don't know anymore. And the bar counter says, me neither. Me neither. And the great night is had by all.
Follow Neil at twitter.com/intoyourheadpod and pretend to like him at facebook.com/intoyourheadpodcast.
Monkey nuts, that's what they call them. They call them big, steaming, shit-eating, piss-piling, pee-popping, cartilage-tearing, muddy the cat outside on the green, looking up this way. Or is she? Don't know, can't tell. Can't discern her eyes from the rest of her face from this distance. I don't know. You put too much of our human, what do you call that thing where you anthropomorphize or something, an animal. That's what people do nowadays. They say, oh, look, that animal is smiling. It is not. You're applying human characteristics to an animal. You're like a mini version of Disney, what's-its-face, the ones that makes the Toy Stories and things. You're doing exactly what they do, except you're doing it less successfully. Although, who's to measure success? They would measure their success in applying human emotions to cat faces by how many millions of dollars they make from their latest Cat Story movie. You probably measure it in how much enjoyment you get from doing it, just within the confines. But they'd probably get, how do you compare that? Well, today, I suppose you have to scale it out. If Disney are doing it on a grand scale, they can expect more than you can. Although, you could probably have, if you took some drugs before you do it, you'd probably have more success in two ways. For one thing, you'd be more likely to think the animal is smiling and believe it. And for another thing, there was another thing. If you took drugs, the other thing was that you might raise your expectations of what you get out of this. You might think, oh, look, my cat is smiling, I'm going to make tens of billions out of this, just like Disney. So the drugs would help or curtail you, whichever way you look at it in that way. So there you go. That's what happens when you apply human characteristics to a cat. Whether those are good things or not, I suppose that's up to you as a free human being, unless you're not in one of the free countries. You might be listening to this in a country where you're not free to do stuff like that, but you're free to do it in your mind still. They can't control what happens in your mind unless they start doing the stuff that happened in that movie. What's the one with the fella drinking the milk all the time? You know the movie from the 70s where your man drunk milk all the time, and Clockwork Orange. It's about a fella drinking milk with his friends a lot and then murdering people, and then they put him on some government drug program. They can control your mind like that. And of course there's that other one where they all where they're in a futuristic society where everybody has to get killed on their 30th birthday. That would be a successful way to control your mind as well. Well, those are extremes. Imagining your cat smiling while you're hallucinating on drugs and thinking that he might make as much money out of it as Disney do with their movies, I suppose that's quite extreme too. Just not on the scale of having a whole society where people are killed off at 30. I think that's a bit of a different thing. Comparing like with like is a good thing. The whole point of comparing things is that you get any two things and you say, what's the differences and the similarities between these things? If I say, that fella has a mustache just like Hitler, and someone will invariably say, are you comparing him to Hitler? That's a bit much. And you say, yes, I am comparing him to Hitler, but I'm not saying he's a fucking Nazi. Just comparing the two. Let me be a chance to extend the comparison, I'll say, they both have mustaches and they're both humans technically, but that's as far as the similarities go. Now here's a list of the differences. If you were to let me finish that, then you'd probably be less offended, unless you're a moron, which you may well be. Not you, the listener, the fellow who I'm talking about in this analogy, whatever it was about. I can't remember what it was. Oh yes, it was the cat face thing. I might call this episode Cat Face Off, like the movie. You know the movie, Face Off. Cat Face Stroke Off. That means I have to put a forward slash in the middle of the title. That's probably going to play all sorts of havoc with iTunes now, but fuck it, we'll take a risk. I put a colon or something, or a comma or something in a couple of weeks ago. Just couldn't care less about that anymore. If you're going to worry about those things, you might as well start worrying that You might as well start worrying that the world is going to end tomorrow, in which case this stuff won't matter. So there's even less cause to worry about it then, although it will matter, although it won't. Well, I suppose it depends how, to what extent the world ends. Is there going to be traces of our civilization left somewhere for a future civilization to uncover? In which case, will they judge me by the forward slash in the middle of the episode title for show 704? Well, remains to be seen. Just not by us, because we'll be all gone. But remains to be seen by them. And they might have different standards by how they judge other civilization. I don't know. Maybe they're just judging us on whether we look like cats. You never know. You can't prepare for that. No more than if you send an episode of your podcast out into space, you can't say, oh, the aliens will enjoy this, or no, they won't, because you've no idea whether they'll understand it. Probably as we speak, they're probably listening to that Beatles song that they beamed into space in the 70s and thinking, Christ, this could do with a bit more of a bass guitar rhythm. Turn it up a bit. Turn up the bass. Just like Eminem says on that thing, he goes, is it cleaning out my closet or one of them? He says, turn up my snare. He says on the actual album track, you hear him going, turn up my snare. Where's my snare? I can't hear my... Very unprofessional, if you ask me. They decide to leave it in just to make him sound more human or something, or more flawed. Apparently sounding flawed and unprofessional is considered a good thing in the artistic injury, in the artistic industry, which I suppose, if that's the case, I might as well do as the Romans do. So I'll leave my forward slash in today's show title. That's that decision made. Today's show will be called Catface Stroke Off, just like the movie of the same name, except with the word cat added in front. So might as well, if I'm going to be damned as a shovel, I might as well be damned as a spade too, or what's the called? If you're going to be damned, you might have some phrase like that, something along the lines of, if you're going to be damned for one thing, you might as well be damned for the whole lot. I can't remember the exact expression. Might as well be damned for a walrus if you're going to be damned for an ant. Something. I can't remember the phrase. Could carry on and Google it here. But I see I've already recorded half an hour's worth of material. So let's not resort to doing extra filler where none is needed. Anyway, good morning.